Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today. We're in part three of our Find Your People series, and the message is entitled Cultivating Friendships. Cultivating Friendships. And in this series, we're really addressing connection, relationship, really the loneliness epidemic that we see even in America and other parts of the world. They say one in four people consider themselves lonely. And that's too bad, because we're more connected than ever in the sense of social media and lots of people, but people are more lonely. And I think there's lots of factors to that. Certainly busyness, we're working a ton, everybody's full scheduled, but slowing down and making time for healthy face-to-face connections is a challenge. And so maybe you've heard it said this, maybe you've heard this said, it's just hard to make new friends. It's hard to make friends. It's hard to make new friends. And it isn't because, I don't believe it's because people are lacking opportunities, but they are lacking intentionality. And so when I think about this title today, Cultivating Friendships, that word cultivate, you know, it's kind of a gardening term. It's an intentional process of prepping the soil and then planting the seeds and watering the seeds and then weeding. And there, it takes ongoing intentional care to cultivate a garden, for instance, or your flower bed or whatever it might be. Same thing with our friendships. It takes an intentionality. And so I want to look at three scriptures, three passages of scripture, and three moves or three movements that you and I could intentionally implement in our lives that will help cultivate healthy relationships, healthy friendships. And so the first one, first passage, three major passages of scripture. Here's the first one, Luke 5, 27 to 32. And this is, Jesus is in the middle of his 3 years of ministry, 3.5 years of ministry. Incredible miracles have happened. Just right before this passage, we saw him heal the paralyzed man and forgive his sins, and the four friends brought him to Jesus, and it was an incredible, incredible miracle. An incredible friendship story of these four friends that were close friends of this man, and they made a difference. They made a huge difference. They brought him to Jesus, which good friends do. And so let's look at this passage. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Jesus says, follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the first of three moves that we see from this passage, here's the first one, is to invite. In other words, to make the first move, that you and I would make the first move towards friendship, towards connection, towards relationship. And we see that that's what Jesus does here. It says Jesus went out. If you could put that verse back up on the screen, Jesus went out. He was intentionally seeking Levi out. Again, Levi was a tax collector, would have been considered like a traitor to the Jewish people and really a scoundrel. And Jesus is intentionally going after Levi, and he's going to his tax booth and talking to him and inviting him to be a follower, to be a disciple. And this was really messing with the religious leaders' heads. They were like, what is this man doing? What is Jesus doing? How can he do this? He's going for the tax collector? But then what's so fascinating is, and this, we're not going to unpack any of these verses hugely, but I want to show you this three-part movement. And this first movement is invitational. Jesus is going to Levi and inviting Levi to be his follower. So we see this missional move of Jesus. He's going after the lost. He's going after those who are far from him and saying, come, be a follower of me. So Jesus proactively makes the first move towards Levi and invites him into relationship. And what's beautiful here is that Jesus is modeling this clearly, and Levi sees it, and Levi then invites friends of his, known sinners, known other tax collectors, to his house for a big banquet, of which he's also invited Jesus. So why is that? Well, when you encounter Jesus and you are saved and forgiven and you the Holy Spirit is now in you and empowering you, you can't help but want to invite others to meet Jesus too. And so practically, this is what Levi does. Jesus invites Levi, then Levi invites his friends to a meal around the table with Jesus to make a connection. It's powerful and wonderful, and it's what we're called to do too. Jesus, Jesus wasn't in just inviting church people, Christians, other followers. He was inviting the lost, and that's what he calls us to do too. That's part of us being followers of Jesus, is we invite others to be followers, just like what Levi does here. And so it's so important to see that intentionality, that Jesus was intentionally on mission. He calls us to intentionally be on mission, and it's so important that we do that. And when we look at these other two passages of Scripture today, we're going to see that they're kind of more focused more towards people that already are believers, but this one specifically is very mission focused. Reach the lost, reach those far from God. Jesus is always saying, that's why I'm here. I'm here to seek and save the lost. He then gives us that mission as well. And so just keep that in mind when it comes to being an inviter. Invite people for connection, invite people into friendship, but also invite people to know Jesus. Bring people to Jesus. What are some barriers to that though? Because you might go, Kevin, I know I'm supposed to do, I know that's part of, you talk about this a lot. What are the barriers? Well, I think barriers to inviting people into relationship, into connection, into friendship, to Jesus, even any of these, I think there's kind of, there would be a long list of the barriers, but I thought about these top four for me. Fear of rejection. I put them on the screen for you. Fear of rejection. Well, what if they say no? Or what if they, you know, what if they don't like me? You know, what if they're mad at me? Well, all those things, you know. And it was interesting that Levi responded to Jesus, but the rich young ruler didn't respond to Jesus. So Levi responds to him positively, but the rich young ruler didn't. Isn't it interesting that Jesus still invites people to come follow him, knowing that some people will say no? And so, therefore, you and I the same. Not everybody's going to respond to the invitations. And that's okay. Your identity is secure in Christ and who he says you are. And that's a process of really believing that and taking that in and getting rid of the old lies and replacing them with truth. And so fear of rejection is the first barrier. The second barrier is just waiting to be invited. We're hoping somebody will invite us or someone will invite me. I thought that was other people's job. They should invite me over or to church or to lunch or to coffee or no. Well, that's great too. But if the barrier to connection could exactly be that you're waiting for someone else to do it and not taking responsibility to do it yourself, for you to make the first move, you're waiting for someone else to make the first move. I want to encourage you. Don't do that. Be intentional and make the first move. I don't care if you're wired more introvert, more extrovert, that doesn't matter. You're designed for connection and relationship. Whether either one of those, introvert, extrovert, ambivert, it doesn't matter what vert you are, you're still called to make connection. And I believe make the first move, because we're all called to be on mission for Jesus, but we're all called to cultivate friendships and relationships. And this is so important. So don't take the bait of the enemy and just wait or fear of rejection. And the next one, the third one I put is just endless whens. I'll invite people over when the house is cleaner, when I have more time, when life settles down, once the kids are older, then I'll invite people over, when I have a little extra cash. You know, I get it. The when's list can be really long, but ask God, what do you think? because, you know, there's always going to be an excuse. I just say, figure out your priorities, think about your priorities, and ask God to help you with that. And then I think the last barrier that really was, as I was thinking about this, pondering about this, praying, I don't want to be a burden. I think some people think, if I invite somebody, I'll be bothering them. They're busy. I don't want to impose. And I get that thinking, but worst case they can do is just say no. Or I'm too busy this week, but could we do it, you know, a month from now? That's fine. Yeah, you know, just try to get rid of that. Ask God to help you get rid of that thinking that you're not a bother. You're God's kid, you're God's creation, and they are too. And I understand busy, but everybody understands that. But even if they say no, the fact that you invited them in, you made the first move, communicates, I value you, you're important, I see you, I want connection. You're worth connection, worth connecting with. That is a beautiful thing, to help move from that acquaintance to casual, maybe on the relational map, acquaintance, casual, to, you know, move it, because it takes a lot of moves to get to close. And or even acquaintance to casual can take several invites. And so just keep getting this rhythm in your life, the invitational rhythm. You know, it's so cool that Jesus moved towards me. He moved towards Levi in the story in Luke 5. He moved towards me, so and you, and so we get the privilege of moving towards others. We're just doing what Jesus did. We're just doing what Jesus did, and he came to model this for us. So this is so beautiful. So every acquaintance or casual connection which can move toward growing friendship begins when someone makes the first move. That first move is to invite, all right? Coffee, lunch after church, dinner, dinner in, dinner out, dinner at your place, a life group. Maybe you have a common interest. You find out you have a common interest in them when you're having a casual conversation, and you find out, man, I didn't realize you enjoyed music like that. We should go watch somebody play music, or we should, you know, do a sports thing together. Or, oh, you're watching one of the World Cups. Awesome. Let's do that. Come over to my place, or let's go out and do that. So just be thinking about ways to connect and invite people to things. Make a list. All right. Make the first move. Secondly, welcome. In other words, make room. The welcome is making room. You make room in your schedule, in your life, in your place, in your world for a connection. And really, we're going to look at this passage from Romans 12, which is, it's just a power-packed passage. The whole chapter is power-packed. And I just want to look at a couple verses and really want to focus on two words today. So I'm leaving it with so much left to talk about. But let's look at it. Romans 12, 9-13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. See that? Wow. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Wow. Wow. You know, he who hopes, he who rests and hopes, has a lot of hope, has the most influence. And where's our greatest hope? In Christ, in his ways, in the kingdom life. Yeah. And then it says, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. So the context is for Christian living and with other believers. That's the first context, other believers. It goes beyond that, but it starts there with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And then it says, to these two words, I want to focus on practice hospitality. So Paul doesn't simply say be hospitable. He says practice hospitality. And I put on the screen for you, just in the original language, the Greek. What does practice mean? Well, practice, that word in the Greek means to pursue or to run after or to seek opportunities. It's very active verb, intentional language. It's not passive in any way, shape, or form. It's active. It's intentional. It's go after. Practice this, right? So be in the game. Do this. Be practicing regularly, pursuing, running after what? Hospitality. Well, what is this word hospitality? Just translated, just means loving strangers. And loving, I could extend it saying loving strangers until they become closer or they become like family. So there's a process of loving a stranger from a stranger. They're not even an acquaintance, to casual, to close, to 2 a.m. You know, not everybody's going to be in that close in 2 a.m., but you're inviting people into relationship, into your world, and you're making room for them. You've invited them, but now you're making room for them in your world, and this is a big deal. I love that intentionality. So again, the first context is the church, but then people in your spheres, neighbors, workplaces, even strangers as God leads, like totally, you could be in the same church family, depending on the size of your church family, and you may not have ever met them. You may know their face, but you don't know. You may be a quick acquaintance, but be intentional, because you can have strangers near you. Sometimes your neighbors are strangers, you know, depends how long you've lived there. And so be intentional about inviting people and making room for hospitality. It's not always going to be convenient, rather. It may require some sacrifice. But even I like what Pastor Ian said last week in part two of this series. He said, you may need to prayerfully adjust your priorities if you find that in your life you don't have room for new connections, new friends, or growing friendships and cultivating those friendships. And so the invitation is that first, you know, it's one thing to invite somebody, but then it's another thing to make room for them in your world, right? And here's what I say, because some people are like, Kevin, I've got plenty of friends. There's a few people out there that say, I'm maxed out with my friends, you know? Or I'm only the kind of person that only has a couple of friends. And I would say, I get that. Like, I understand that. Like, some people have a really high capacity for lots of connections and relationships. Some people are lower capacity with that. That's not a value scale. It's just different capacity. But here's what I know, too, is that sometimes the friendships and the cultivation isn't you being their best friend, but if you meet someone and you start to get to know them a bit, you might go, oh my goodness, this person has so much in common with this person. And then you help connect the dots of those relationships, right? Because you might know somebody else who could really gel with this person, right? So I, for instance, I know for me, that happens a lot, right? Because I'm always trying to connect people. And so look at yourself as a connector too, that you don't necessarily have to be everything for a person or, you know, make a ton of extra time in your schedule, but just by getting to know their story, just by getting to know who they are a little bit, all of a sudden you can help connect the dots. I think this is really important. It's interesting that, it's interesting that Dr. Gottman, John and Julie Gottman, they're out of Seattle. They have like a 50-year-long research study on relationships, especially around marriage, but also connections, friendships, relationships in general. And their research is fascinating. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to look it up. But one of the things they coined a phrase called bids for connection, which are these small everyday ways that people reach out and connect with each other. And healthy relationships healthy relationships are built by consistently responding to these little bids for connection. So for instance, like a bid for connection might be something like this. You know, someone says, well, how was your day? Well, that's a bid for connection. Or, hey, have you got a minute? You know, that's a bid for connection. It's a small little ask that helps. They're saying, I'd like a little piece of your time. I'd like you to make room for me. Or, hey, guess what happened to me today? And so then someone starts to talk to you. That's a bid for connection. And so what they did is they studied this and measured this and find that it's the repeated bids for connection that really begin to cultivate friendships and relationships. And actually the repeated ones over and over again, the frequency increases. All of a sudden, that's how close friendships and relationships are established with other variables. But another bid might be something like, hey, come see what I made. Or someone shows you a photo on their phone. You want to grab a coffee sometime? Sure. Or you're at church and they say, hey, why don't you sit with us? Like you see somebody sitting by themselves. Hey, come sit with us. Just that is a bid for connection. And that's what the research shows, is that this is really meaningful. It might seem like a small gesture, but it's actually a small question, a small ask, but it's actually a beautiful bid for connection. And it's really biblical, actually. And I think we see it here because when we go back to this Romans 12 passage where it says practice hospitality, I really believe that is actually what's happening. He's saying, you know, that intentionally pursue or run after and seek opportunities to love people, strangers, outsiders, guests, people that are in your spheres of influence, and invite them closer and help meet needs. When you start to know needs, then you can still help meet them. And it's wonderful. It's what we're actually called to do and designed to do. And so I want to encourage you with that, to invite and then to welcome. And welcome means welcome into and make room for that person. All right. And I want to challenge you with this too. It's that welcoming side, which is, you know, again, you're making room. I want to ask you right now, like, where's your heart posture with this? As I'm sharing this, you're like, are you shutting down? Are you like, is your heart posture one of like this? Like, nope, not open to it. Like, pay attention to your heart posture. Or is it more just kind of neutral? Just kind of like this? Like, indifferent? Or is it more like, I'm welcoming. God, whoever you have, whoever you want me to connect with, God, they may become a close connection of mine, or I might be able to see the opportunity for them to connect with someone that I know that, man, they had a lot in common with. I could see them really gelling. Yeah, see, that's the beautiful thing is you don't have to be everybody's best friend. You can't be, but you can help connect people. Because you know, and I know, the research shows tons of people don't have connections. Tons of people are lonely. It's an epidemic. And so we can help with that. It's biblical. More than anything, it's biblical. We're supposed to do it. It's clearly here. I mean, Romans 12, you read the whole thing, you're like, oh my goodness, this, you know, love sincerely and honor each other and cultivate and practice hospitality. Wow, incredible. So let's go to number three, the third movement, which is in the last movement, which is to consider. So we got invite, we got welcome, consider. Invite, welcome, consider, which when I mean consider, we're going to look at Hebrews 10, but it's intentionally build others up. Intentionally build others up. You're helping in a cultivating a friendship and a relationship. You're helping take that person from where they're at and encourage them, build them up, put courage into them, call it out in them. And so let's look at Hebrews 10. Let me just read it to you. 10:24-25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right, just leave that on the screen if you would. Let us consider how. That word consider there in the Greek is to think carefully, to plan, to devise a plan, to strategize. Think very intentionally. Remember, you don't even have to just think with your own mind. You and I have the mind of Christ as believers. And so when you pray, you're saying, God, give me the mind of Christ. Help me access the mind of Christ. And James 1:5, give me wisdom, biblical godly wisdom, to know how to build others up and encourage them and to spur them on. And so, as a matter of fact, it's even that spur, that word spur, is to motivate one another, to provoke. It's strong language in the Greek. It's provoke one another and provoke in a healthy, godly way to walk this out. Walk out because of the gospel and because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf, because we have been received incredible mercy, incredible grace. We can now freely give it away, forgiveness and encouragement and love and honor. And we can practice hospitality and we can invite people in to know Christ and also to know his ways and to get more free with the truth of God and his word. And I mean, you know, it's like we have this treasure in you know, in vessels that are flawed, but he's not flawed. We're in Christ. We're righteous. I mean, it's such an incredible package that God offers, gives to us in Christ, and then we have that privilege of offering it to others. So it's saying, in light of all that, hey, you're in process of growing up into who God's called you to be, so intentionally build each other up, encourage each other, spur each other on. Don't just think about what you need. Think about how you can build others up. As a matter of fact, as you are prayerful about what you can do to build others up, you actually get encouraged. You get built up, and others will be doing it to you too, but in the giving, it's like the flow comes in and goes through, and you get blessed in the process. It's very motivating. It's very encouraging. We're called to be holy encouragers. It's wonderful. So, in other words, you know, have as many I see in you conversations as you can. I see this in you. I just last night we were in a small group, and it was just awesome how we had those moments in the group where someone was a little discouraged, and it's like the Holy Spirit nudges, and you see one person say to the other person, well, I see this in you. I see your compassion. One person said, I see the compassion. You're a very compassionate person. And that person was like, oh, I don't know if I am. Nope. Hey, receive that. Receive it. You are compassionate. Yeah, you're going through a little bit of a rough time right now, but that's okay too. But God's wired you with compassion. And then that person gave an example of a compassionate moment and how they saw that person encourage someone. And so they're encouraging the person who's a little bit discouraged in the ways that they're already an encourager. Just cool. And that's what we're called to do for each other. It's beautiful. And so I love this, and I love that cultivation. And I was just thinking about, I've got a couple of groups. I was in that group last night. I've got three groups right now and two other men's groups that I'm in. And there's one group specifically that every time we meet, it's like I walk away so personally encouraged by watching and being a part of the interaction of these verses being walked out. There's spurring one another on. There's building one another up. You hear the testimonies of what God's been doing in each other's lives, and we read the word together. And it's like a full package of awesome encouragement. And we get to hear the hard stuff and the challenges, and we're still praying into this situation, and we need to see God provide here or breakthrough here. But we bring it together to the Lord, and you walk out and you go, why would people not make time for this? This is what we're called to do, called to be, called to walk in growth together, mature together in Christ, in community, in friendships and connections. And this rhythm of invite, this rhythm of being a welcoming person who's making room and practicing hospitality. And then this Hebrews 10, consider this, like, consider how you can spur one another on and build one another up. And it also says in 24 and 25 there, it says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So one of the key things is you gotta get together. You gotta meet together. That's why you need the invitation, and you need to make the room so that you can meet together, whether it's a casual conversation after church. And so, you know, you can have a powerfully encouraging moment, you know, that's 2 or 3 minutes long. I think it's better if you get a little more length than that, but that can be where it starts. But then invite and make room with a coffee moment, you know, a coffee meeting or a lunch after church, lunch during the week. Just be intentional. These rhythms of cultivating, invite, welcome, making room, and considering, and then prayerfully considering, who do you want me to build up today, God? Who do you want me to encourage today? And I get to be that vessel of encouragement and spurring one another on and helping motivate people down and on the journey. And I love that it says that in verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? All the more. So in other words, what's the day approaching? Well, Christ's return. So, and Christ is coming back, and it's saying, as we get closer to his return, you need to even get more intentional about meeting together. Like, you're going to be super tempted to get so busy that you can't get together with other believers and encourage and build each other up and spur each other on. Make it a top priority. It needs to be, as Ian talked about last week, one of the big rocks in your life. Like, remember, what are the big rocks? What are the big priority things? Put those in first, and then pour the pebbles and the sand in and the water in afterwards, and all of a sudden it starts filtering around the rocks, and you can get all that God wants you to get in. But if you just get caught up in the busy and really the trivial things and the screen time and Netflix, and if you let all that stuff kind of fill up your jar, fill up your life, and you forget to prioritize the main things, all of a sudden your life is full with things that aren't that important, or a couple of really important things, but not the most important things. And this healthy relationships, healthy cultivated friendships, are priority to God. We need to be fellowshipping with other believers. So yeah, church on the weekend, but also in some kind of smaller setting where you're really getting to to nurture and spur and encourage one another. And so just want to encourage you, be prayerful in attending to that part of your life. And we need to do it all the more as we see, as we move towards Christ's return, which every day we're one day closer, right? He's saying, don't neglect this. It's really important. And so I want to wrap this up just by saying these three movements are so powerful. They're so simple. I mean, in fact, this is so simple. You might go, Kevin, I know this stuff. All right. But is there one of them you're not doing? Or maybe you did do it and then it kind of started drifting. Do you invite, do you make the first move, or do you assume it's everybody else's responsibility? I want to challenge you. Make the first move. Invite somebody into your world. Invite somebody to a coffee. Invite someone into lunch. Invite someone to your home for dinner. Do this. Like, make this. This is important. This is biblically important for you and for the other person. And consistency builds trust, and trust builds friendships. But you got to have the invite, and then you got to make the room. Right? That's that really important part of welcoming. And then there's the considering part, which is just that, wow, I need encouragement and they need encouragement. And when we get together, when we don't neglect meeting, all of a sudden God does that in our midst. It's beautiful. So I put three questions on the screen that you might go, okay, so let's say I do it. I invite somebody, I make room, I go to coffee. What do? Because maybe for you, this is tough. Maybe you're like, I haven't done much of this. I just put three questions on the screen for you. You know, what could they be? And this there's a zillion questions you could ask. But just have a posture of curiosity and be interested in them, the other person, and their story. And so tell me a little about your story is a good question. What do you enjoy doing when you're not working? What's something you look forward to in the future? Now, the key to a healthy conversation and a good conversation is that you're interested in the other person. And depending on your wiring, I would say 70% of the time you should be listening and 30% talking. That's a good stat, you know. And some of you are real talkers and you really need to hear that because you'll just, if there's a pause, you'll fill it. Don't fill all the pauses. Ask a question and be quiet and listen. 70% listen, 30% talking. All right. But the key, I think, to, you can have three questions like this, but the key that we don't talk about very often is the follow-up question. So for instance, when someone's telling you a little about their story and maybe they mention, hey, yeah, thanks for asking. Let me tell you, well, I grew up in Boise, Idaho, you know, state capital of Idaho. Grew up in Boise and, you know, lived there for first 10 years of my life and da 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 da. And they say a few more things about that. And then you can say, well, that's interesting. What are some of your favorite memories? See the follow-up question. What are some of your favorite memories about living in Boise? Or what did your parents do for work when they lived in Boise? Or what did they do for a living when you lived in Boise? See, even one follow-up question like that, take something that was said, something that you heard, which shows you were listening, and go to the next level. Just let that be a springboard to the next question that's tied into their story. And then you could ask a question like, well, you're living here in Lewiston. What got you from Boise to Lewiston? Or was there anything in between that? Or did you just go straight from Boise to Lewiston? And see, that engagement, that follow-up question, and then be quiet and listen. This is key. Again, 70% listen, ask follow-up questions, and 30% talk about yourself, right? Because, you know, if you're having a coffee meeting, you should talk about yourself a little bit. Here's what I found, and I'm a talker, as you can tell, is that if you get good at asking questions and listening, you'll get to talk, and you should share a little bit. But even if you don't share much, the fact that you were so interested in them, they're going to get encouraged. They're going to get built up. It's beautiful. So that's just simple, just practical, but I want you to apply it this week. So let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for this message today. Thank you for this challenge of inviting and welcoming, considering, and the privilege we have to cultivate friendships. Help us with these movements in our lives to be the first one to make the move of inviting, to be those who practice hospitality by being welcoming And even from those that are believers and close to us now, but also for the stranger. You even say, go after the stranger. And that, it's active. I love how invite is active. I love how welcoming is active. And I love how considering in Hebrews 10. Who needs an encouragement this week? Who, God, put them on our heart that we would reach out to them and encourage them. God, thank you for the privilege of walking out the gospel. Jesus, you invited us. We get the privilege of inviting others in and seeing them encouraged and built up and come to know Christ. So even put people on our hearts today that don't know you. Help us invite them in to a relationship with you and into friendship with us. And God, I thank you for people listening, tuning in. Would you meet them right where they're at today? Would you bless them? Would you build them up? Would you put courage into them? In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Have a great week. See you next time.